Welcome to the Subscribe to Change recording of the online Accessing Personal Genius training, teaching you how to step into a state of flow at will.
Okay, everyone. So I'm back. I was talking about painters, and so Csikszentmihalyi had looked into and started researching people at the university who were doing arts, and specifically painting. And what he discovered is that they could lose themselves in the moment so easily. They seemed to really enjoy it, and they just forgot everything around them. So he got really curious as how do they do that? Because once they finished the painting, they would look at it, have celebrate it for a moment, but then they would walk away, and it would be like as if they never were in that place, and they would move on to the next painting. So he got really curious as to how that worked, and then later on he started to research not just painters, but he started researching basketball players, musicians, chess players, so people who were doing completely different things. And he was curious as to like when this state occurs and how, in what moments. And he really thought that it was going to be a different experience for every situation and for every activity, for different activities. So what he discovered is that state is actually pretty much the same. The way that people describe the state is exactly the same. It doesn't matter what it is that they're doing. And so from that, he described and he defined the state of flow. And so the way that he defines that is as a mental state of operation in which a person performing an activity is fully immersed in a feeling of energized focus. So it's not just focus, it's energized focus, full involvement, and enjoyment in the process of the activity. So it's okay, so I have to look at my mic because I just saw that I got muted again. I think that's what happened earlier as well, that I got muted. So I'll keep an eye on that. So it's not just energized focus, and it's not just full involvement. It also is enjoyment in the process of the activity. So and that's what he described. He described it as a state of ecstasy. So there's at the same time a sense of serenity in the state, but there's also a state of ecstasy in that state. And so what he says is that flow is characterized by complete absorption in what one does. What we're going to be doing in this Accessing Personal Genius training is, how do you step into that at will? How can you step into a state of coaching or step into a state of training at will? And also, how can you step out of it again so that you can start doing something else? And so that's what this training is all about. And as you learn that, you're also going to learn the dynamics of the different components of flow. And some of those components are foundational in terms of having a sense of self-leadership. And so we're going to go over that as well and how that relates to coaching and when it comes up in coaching. So let's take a look at, okay, I'm just experiencing technical difficulties here today. So So let's take a look at the components of flow. And meantime, I'm going to try and find for you the slide. But But let's just go through it in terms of like what he discovered, because he researched this state of flow and really picked it apart and kind of looked at, okay, what are all the components that make up flow? And this really, for me, this was really interesting when I started to research this, is that what he discovered, it's just so in line with what it is that we're doing and how the APG in stages is set up. So the components of flow, and I'm gonna show you right now because I've fixed my problem, my technical issue. So these are the components of flow. So it starts with having like a very clear goal, knowing where you want to go to. That's a very important component, and which is something that we go through when we do the Accessing Personal Genius training, because we want to be aligned with our highest intentions. Why are we doing something? So having a clear goal in mind, knowing your direction, is very important. And so then there's also that sense of intrinsic motivation, which also has to do with intention, and it also has to do with, okay, what brings you that sense of joy? Because if something is pleasurable, then you're going to be intrinsically motivated for it. So what he discovered also is that there's that balance between your skill and your challenge, and the distinction to make here is that it's the balance between your perceived skill and challenge. So it's something that it's not just, you can have a certain level of skill, but if you don't experience that, or if you have like a lack of confidence about that skill, then you're going to experience a higher sense of challenge, because you're not aware of the skill that you have. So we're going to be working with, okay, that's what, you know, we work with self-confidence and self-esteem and creating that difference between being and doing, so that we can have like an accurate sense of our skill so that we can meet the challenge based on what we are able to do at our peak. So that balance between skill and challenge, we're going to be working on that. We're going to be uncovering that. What he also discovered is that, or uncovered, is that there's like a distorted sense of time. So time just seems to, like, 1 minute seems, or an hour seems to go by in a minute. And I'm sure that you've had that as well, where you're doing something, even like if it's just like a conversation and you feel like that conversation is like 2 minutes long, and in actuality it's like an hour. So it's a distorted sense of time. There's a sense of personal control, which has all to do with your power zone. I'm able to, whatever comes my way, I'm able to deal with it. I'm able to kind of flexibly move around it or move with it. So that's present in that state, a sense of personal control. There's a loss of self. You need to lose yourself. There's no sense of like self-awareness, even though there is awareness at the same time. So it's that loss of self. How are you able to lose yourself? And again, that also plays into our self-confidence versus self-esteem, and separating who we are from what we do, so that you're not invested. If there are any mistakes, it's not about who you are. So loss of self. And then another component is immediate feedback. So in the moment feedback. And that's very critical. And so we're going to build the foundations for that as well. Just dealing with reality the way that it is without wishing it differently. And being able to take that feedback and use it so that we can continue on with our state of flow. So there's no wishful thinking or no kind of wanting a different. And a big part of that is being able to simply accept what is. And so that's a critical component that we're also working on as well, is the ability to accept, to give permission. And so that's, as you see, in terms of the components of flow, that's what we're going to be bringing all together in this one state. And so I've been working, I've been talking about this word a lot now, that flow is a state. So then the question becomes, okay, if flow is a state, then what is a state? And so I know all of you know what a state is, but let's go over it again and look at the definition of what a state is. And then we'll go over why flow, in that sense, is such a special state. So a state is a mental and emotional experience, a dynamic mind-body state of being that's an experiential energy field. So it is a interconnected state of mind, body, and emotion. And so the way that I share it is that it's the sum of your thoughts, your feelings, and your physical experience at a given moment in time. So that's the way that I like to share it. It's just a calculation. Okay, your thoughts, your feelings, and the physical experience at a given moment in time. And that is very critical because your state continuously changes. So from one moment to the next, you're constantly going from one state to the next. And so going from one state to the next and going through that during your day, a lot of the time we are not aware of the states that we go through, and so we don't have a sense of ownership or leadership over that state. And that is very critical because if we think about our state, the quality of our state during a day, that determines the quality of our day. The quality of our state throughout a week determines the quality of our week. So ultimately, the states that we go through in a lifetime determines the quality of our life. It determines the effectiveness with which we can behave. It determines what we are doing, how we are speaking. And so state is really what allows us to do. It allows us to respond. And in that, the state that we're in becomes really important. And so that's why we start in the APG. That's why we start with knowing how to change a state. And so this is something that is really foundational, and it's something that we also use in coaching as well, because we, in a specific context, with a specific trigger, what we do is we help our client from one state to be in another state. So we get them from present state to desired state. That's why we start out with the accessing personal genius before we do the coaching mastery, or that's one of the reasons why, is because we want to really be able to be masters at state management or state leadership. Knowing this is the foundation. So let's go over some facts about states. So first of all, you create your own states. People don't always feel like that because they're like, oh, well, that happened, so I felt like this. Or so a lot of the time we're so externally focused that we're not aware that we can choose our states. We can choose our responses. States are fluid and ever-changing, so you're never in one state very long because you continuously have thoughts and feelings about something, even if it is about your thoughts and feelings. So they're kind of like continuously shifting over time. So you might at one point be feeling determined, and the next moment you're still determined, but there's a little bit of distraction there. So things happen and you're interacting with the world, and so your states are continuously changing. States govern your behavior, so the state that you're in determines the way that you look at life, the way that you perceive things, and it determines the way that you respond to it. And the fourth fact, which I particularly like, is you can interrupt the state at any time. So that's where things get really interesting, because if you're stuck in a state, how can you interrupt it? Can you, you know, for some people that I've coached, when they are so stuck in a state, the first thing that they learn is like, okay, I'm just going to say stop. Stop. Lucia and Nicola, who are neurosemantic trainers in Italy, what they do with their clients is that they give their clients a elastic band. And so every time that their client gets into their problematic state, they have to kind of snap their elastic band so that they start creating awareness of their state, and also it's an interruption of their state. And so that interruption creates choice. And so knowing that you can interrupt it at any time is kind of exciting, because that's where the key is to state management. So you can interrupt the state at any time, in any way. Okay, so we're just going to go over some of the things, some of the foundational things in terms of the state. So I know that all of you have gone through this before, so I won't spend too much time on this, but if you know that your state is made up of the sum of your thoughts, feelings, and your physiology, then how can you access a state? How can you change a state? So the first very simple way to do it is to just change your physiology. And so just for a moment, what I'd like you to do is to kind of like notice where you're sitting right now. Maybe you're sitting behind your desk. Maybe you're walking around listening to this. But what state are you in right now? And just notice your physiology. Notice where you're at. Notice what your breath feels like. And how would you call that state? Okay. And so what I'd like you to do right now is to make a radical shift. And maybe if you're standing, you want to be sit down. Maybe if you're leaning back, you want to lean forward. So make a radical change in your physiology. And as you've done that, just notice how that changes the state that you're in. Maybe you want to change your breath. So changing your physiology, it's incredibly easy. All you have to do is either look up or lean forward. And so this is what I always do when I run a training, and I introduce this. I introduce accessing a state is I let people kind of notice that difference. And for people who have never done anything with any kind of training, this is really kind of like an eye opener, because the difference is so big. So they can go from feeling like relaxed, shifting to alert and more open. And so changing your physiology is critical. That's why we, as we coach, we also want to work with physiology. We're not just working cognitively, with our mind, but we're also working with physiology, asking our client to show us what it looks like when they are in their desired state. So that's what we work with. Then there are two other ways to shift your state. One is through memory. So going back, and we do that all the time, we go back to memory and we repeat conversations, and it's like we're all there again, and we're having the same conversation again, and so we can go back there. And then there's like imagination as well. So we can think of maybe being Einstein or Steve Jobs or anyone who embodies the quality or embodies for us the state that we want to access. So we can think of stepping into their shoes, putting on their clothes, having the same kind of thoughts, and really try that on. But we can also make changes in voices and audio, so there's a lot of different things that we can do with our imagination that allows us to change our pictures, change the thoughts in the back of our mind, change the voices, the audio around us, so that we can change our state. So we have three ways: physiology, memory, and imagination. So when you're coaching and you want someone to experience their desired state, for example, you can use the what if. You can help your client by asking them about, okay, if they haven't had the experience themselves before, even if it's just a small experience, you can bring them back to the memory. You can coach their physiology. So what would you be sitting like, or what would you be looking like in your desired state? And then also with imagination, it's like, okay, is there anyone in your life who already does this? Imagine what it's like, what it's like to be them. So step into that for a moment. And then you can transfer that, okay, would you like to have this? So when you are playing around with coaching and you're asking your clients questions, then these are also the tools that you use to get your client into their desired state. Okay. So one of the things that I like to do for state awareness and creating state awareness is to keep a journal. And so the reason I put this in is that if you want to change your state, you need to be aware of your state. So this is something really good to revisit once in a while, to kind of like just spend a day and kind of like go over, okay, how did I feel through the day? What were the states that I was going through? So that is a way. So if you look here, I wrote down from 0 to, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., so that's going through your day. And then you have 0 to plus 10, which are states that that are positive for you. And then from 0 to minus 10, states that are negative for you. And then also the 0 to minus 10 or 0 to plus 10 lets you know the intensity. So how intense was that state? Because that is important as well when we're working with states. Okay, so I just want to pause here for a moment and get some questions in. Okay, so Siri, I see you put your hand up.
I put the hand up before when we lost you, so it's no one.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are there any questions so far? I think this, so far it's all repetition, but for me it's important that we're going over this again and really taking it step by step so that you see how everything is built up. So any questions so far? Okay, so I don't see any questions, so we'll just continue on. So once we've gone through what is a state, we need to really look at, okay, so flow. I said earlier that it has several components. It's not just one. It's not just one aspect. So flow is a coming together, and this is really critical. What Csikszentmihalyi said is that all of these components need to happen at the same time for flow to emerge. So all of these things are present in one single moment, and that's when everything comes together, flow emerges. It's kind of like bringing together hydrogen and oxygen to create water. So all of those different kinds of components, clear goals, the balance between perceived challenge and skill, intrinsic motivation, sense of personal control, all of those things happen in one and the same moment. And that's when flow occurs. So then the question that we need to answer with the Accessing Personal Genius training is, how do we bring all of those components together in one moment? And that answer, the Accessing Personal Genius training is the answer to that question. How do we bring all of those components together in one moment? And the way that we do that is through metastating. Because all of those states that we spoke about earlier are meta states. So then the question is, what is a meta state? And so just going over that really quick is that if a state is the sum of your thoughts and feelings, then a meta state is your thoughts and feelings about other thoughts and feelings. So it's not about something external, but it is about previous thoughts and feelings that you've had. So you have thoughts and feelings, and then you have thoughts and feelings about that, and then you have thoughts and feelings about that, and that's how you kind of like layer thoughts and feelings on top of each other. And when you do, something new emerges. So yesterday when I was doing a training, we did this exercise where you have little pieces of paper with states written on them, and then I ask people, okay, so take one state and then take the next state and kind of like bring that to the other state. And I ask them to do that maybe three or four things, and so you get a lot of different combinations that you can't really make up. So you can start out with silly, and then you can be happy about your silliness, and then you can be worried about your happy silliness. So that then eventually creates something entirely different. So there's like it becomes more than just the sum of the parts, which is exactly what hydrogen and oxygen do. You put them together at one and the same moment, and then something more emerges, which is water. So that's what essentially metastating is. When you start layering that, you create something completely new. So flow, in that sense, is a metastate. And what we do in the Accessing Personal Genius training is bringing all of those components together. So we take full concentration, we take the balance of skill and challenge, we take loss of sense of self, we take personal control, and we bring that into one moment about an activity. So essentially, and that's what I got really excited about, is that that's what we're doing. We are taking all of these things, bringing them together in one moment, in one specific context, which is essentially what we are doing in coaching as well. When we're coaching a person, we are basically saying, so this is the activity that you want to do. What are all of the states that you need to bring in there so that you can do it at your best? And so as we are learning in the Accessing Personal Genius training how to create a state of flow, we are also learning how to coach. We're learning the art of coaching in a more implicit way than at the Meta Coach training. But you're really learning all the basics that you need, all of the skills. So revisiting the APG and practicing all of the skills is really beneficial for you to increase your meta-coaching skills. Okay, so let's go over quickly if what it is that we're doing is meta-stating, and we're meta-stating all of those components, then what is the meta-stating process? And so we have the five A's. Obviously, initially it starts with awareness, but then you access a state. So like we discussed, you access a state through memory, imagination, or physiology. And that's what you help your client to do, is, okay, think of a moment where you've had this before. It doesn't matter how small, just a moment where you've had this before. What was that like? What did you see? What did you hear? What did you feel? What was your breath like? And so really help your client to access that state. And then you want to get them to amplify it, because you want it to be like a very strong state. If you want to kind of bring calm to anger, and that anger is like really hot and it's like at a level 10, if you're going to bring a level 2 calm to it, then it's not going to have so much effect. If that calm is like a level 10 and you bring that calm to the anger, then that makes a huge effect. Okay, so amplifying it, that's very critical. Then we need to apply it to the other state. So we need to look through the eyes of calm at anger. So if you look through the eyes and breathe with the breath of calm at your own anger, what is that like? And so the way that you can do that in coaching, and the way that what happens in coaching, is that a meta state isn't always a state of calm or, just a word like that where you say confidence. A meta state can also be just a simple understanding. So it can be anything, a range of things. So yesterday when I was teaching a training at an organization, and we were starting to kind of practice with metastating. Okay, take something problematic, like a state in your work where you get stuck, and let's look at what you can bring to bear to that. Like, what states can you bring to that? So I was talking to this lady, and she was stuck in the state of frustration. And so I asked her, okay, so initially we started to kind of like experiment with just bringing acceptance to it, or playfulness, or resourcefulness and creativeness. And she had a hard time just like getting into that state. And so I asked her just a few meta questions to uncover some of her frames. And as we did, I just asked her, okay, what understanding can you bring to this that would loosen it up? So that's a meta question, and in that I am meta stating. So because, as you know, a meta state is the sum of your thoughts and your feelings. So it can just be a thought. Okay, if I bring this understanding to this situation, then that's going to make a huge difference. Okay, and what do you then need to understand about that? So that's how you conversationally start metastating. And this is why we learn this in the APGs, because this is learning it in these steps and kind of really focusing on just bringing, like, stepping into acceptance or stepping into appreciation is just the first level of the metastaging process. So later on, you're going to do that more conversationally, which is why which is the purpose of those meta questions in the benchmarking skills. Okay, so let me see, because I think we've gone through the basics of metastating and of creating that state of flow. And this is what we are going to be doing over the next series, is focusing on how do we bring all of those components together. And so every week we're going to work on a component. Next week it's going to be the power zone. And as we go through the power zone, you're going to be practicing it on each other and running each other through the pattern. So what I would like you to do is to really think of that one particular state, because every pattern, you're going to take the same genius state. And that's very critical to kind of continue on with that state, because every pattern, as you will see, the way that the APG in stages is set up is that as you go through each pattern, you bring back all of the other steps that you've done before, so that they really do happen at one and the same time. So that's really critical in what we are doing with the Accessing Personal Genius training. So in terms of bringing those all together, obviously in the APG, it's not only about bringing things together. It is also about clearing the path. So there's already metastates. There's already metastating that you've done in a specific context. And some of that metastating and some of that meaning-making is problematic, it's toxic, and it really just gets in the way. So that's also what we're going to be focusing on, is like, okay, if I can bring something to a situation and to an activity, how do I take something away? Because once you take something away, that clears the path so that you can really get into that state of focus and flow. So let's do some questions and some discussion about what we've discussed so far. Janine?
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi, Janine.
I wasn't sure if you could see my hand. I have a technical difficulty. I can't get back on the screen share, but would you know why I missed the last few slides? But could you tell that I couldn't see them?
No, I couldn't. Let me see.
Okay.
No, you could because you are on the you are on the list.
Okay. Good. Oh, that's fine. I can, you know, hopefully next time it'll be okay. I wanted to comment on something that really kind of hit home for me. When you were talking about the thoughts and how when you are in flow, the thoughts are accessible and aligned towards what you want. And that really hit home for me when I heard you say it today. Because usually, for myself, I kind of hear people say, when I'm coaching, I don't want to have thoughts. I want to only focus on the client.
Right.
I'm not sure that's exactly what we want. I think we want to have thoughts that are accessible and aligned and aren't toxic.
Well, exactly.
It's the toxic ones that we're trying to get away from. And what you just said there, like, and then we need to clear those. So, but I think even when I think about focusing on my clients, I kind of get all, oh, man, there's my own thought, you know. But that's okay to have thoughts, especially when it's about the person's outcome and how you can support them in getting it. So I don't know if I'm explaining myself clearly, but that was quite a revelation for me to recognize that I can have really great thoughts and coaching thoughts and be in flow. And it's just those toxic ones that I don't want.
Well, yeah, and I think that, I mean, I think you bring up a great point because that, I noticed that as well, is that often people do say like, oh, I don't want thoughts at all. But the thing is, is that you always have thoughts at any given moment. And how powerful is it? Because what we do in neurosemantics is that we sacralize meanings. So those people who are in a state of peak performance and who are in a state of flow, they give something, they've infused something with sacralizing meanings. And that's why they can lose themselves in the moment. So trying not to have any thoughts is really challenging. So it is because your brain wants to be active. You know, it wants to be doing something. So if you're thinking of not having thoughts, you're still having thoughts. So that's when it can become really difficult. So I think that's a good distinction. It's also something when I am coaching, it's something that I explain because my client may not be aware of that.
Well, absolutely, and I think when we say the words, I want to lose myself, it's not really self we're losing. It's maybe self-doubt or self-consciousness. It's not losing all of self. It's just toxic meanings around self and keeping the good part of self. Yeah. So I think people get lost in the language. And it's not specific enough when they say I want to lose myself as if self isn't there anymore. But you want to keep self, right?
But
keep the best parts of self.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I think that's very, a lot of that also has to do with the way that we relate to words like self and ego. You have to get your ego out of the way. That doesn't mean that you know, to get your ego out of the way, you have to have a solid sense of ego. You have to have ego strength. So, so again, it has all to do with having like really empowering meanings, so that when you are doing an activity, you don't feel the need to go in the back of your mind, oh, what are they going to think of me? Because that's what, or am I going to hit this ball right? Or am I going to ask the right question? Or if I don't ask the right question, what are they going to, you know, say? Or they're not going to like me? Or so all of those things in the back of your mind, yeah, those get in the way. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, thank you. It was an amazing shift for me. That was great.
Oh, high five, Janine. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing. Okay, so Rebecca, I see your hand is up.
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
That's great. Also, I have a practical question or maybe a problem at my screen, because in the middle of the slides, it just stopped, so it was difficult to take a note and pay attention. So
okay.
A question, would you send it out so I can also go back on the slides later on? That was
yes,
one
absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send it out.
And regarding to what you were just talking about, I have been so fascinated by not thinking when I lose myself, and you know the expression "lose yourself and come to your senses," and also to really totally be in the conversation or in the flow state, and becoming aware of that and how everything in my body, for my sake, everything in my body is working with me. My mind, my body is in it. My emotions are totally supportive of what I'm in, and it's really accessible if I anchor it.
Right.
Yes. Also practicing on anchoring the state for use later on has been a great training for me.
Yeah.
Especially in coaching conversations when I feel kind of like difficult to stay focused and be totally present and keep track of time at the same time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, great.
And another thing I was thinking about is how easy actually it is to interrupt a state, for example, in a coaching conversation, doing something unexpected for the client and to the client. Like the break stage we have been practicing, and I remember in the another position we were practicing on doing break stage, so they were kind of direct. I don't know the Norwegian name. It was a well thought break stage.
It's more abrupt.
It was natural. It was more like I had. Had to think about it, so it didn't come that natural. So now in a coaching conversation, I have been practicing to interrupt states more efficient and more intuitive in different ways to see what happens if. And that's something to do, to just play with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, when you do start with the NLP practitioner, and even in the APG. So a lot of the things in the APG, you know, they're like very kind of like step by step, and it's very structured, and it doesn't initially feel so like it flows so well. And so I get a lot of questions about, okay, how do you do that conversationally? And I think once you start understanding the dynamic of a the structure of something, once you have that structure, then it's going to be far easier to do it conversationally and have it, you know, be part of your, practice it as part of your coaching conversation. And so following the structure initially can feel quite awkward. You know, one of the things with the break state, for me, it was always like very kind of abrupt. Okay, I'm going to ask someone if they smell popcorn, you know, something like that. But it's understanding that dynamic. I don't really use that necessarily in my coaching conversation. Not that you couldn't, but it just, as you learn, you learn more kind of flow-like ways to do that.
Well, that's my thought.
Thank you. Rebecca. Okay, Siri, I see you put your hand up.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'm also interested in this thing about interrupting state, which I think is interesting.
Uh-huh.
And Rebecca talked about it in a coaching setting, but I'm also wondering about, do you have any good tips and tricks on how to interrupt, you know, if I'm going to recommend someone to watch themselves and interrupt their own state when things are going on. So if they get into a state in a setting that they don't like, and you talked about the rubber band, but
yeah,
I was wondering, is it, you know, how to really get people to realize that they're getting into that state, or if they just have to get to that point where they kind of come too far, and then, oh, wow, okay, I had a rubber band, and then snap the rubber band or something, and then get out of it. So just thinking if there's any good tips and tricks, other ones, I would like to know about them.
So I think the first thing that you really need from, you know, if it is from a coaching conversation, is for your client to understand and know how it works, when it happens, specifically what the trigger is, and what it feels like. So they need to kind of like have that template so that they can gradually become more and more aware of, oh, this is happening again. So one of the things is that what stops us a lot of the time from being aware is that we take our state so seriously that that everything that we think in that moment is the truth, so we don't really question it anymore. And one of the things that I do in my coaching sessions is that I kind of already set the frames for them taking it lightly and you know, not making it so serious. So that's something that I do beforehand, is I kind of like, oh, so that's what you're thinking, and how is that working for you? And so you kind of start teasing them a little bit so that it's loosened up. And then I will just, and then I'll make sure that they really know where they feel it specifically in their body, what the thoughts are, so that they can start becoming aware of it. And to be honest, my clients, a lot of the time, will themselves figure out ways to break that state or to get out of it. So I literally have people who say, well, I just have to say stop to myself, you know, and so initially then that's what they do. Or they say, well, if that happens, I need to go to a different room. Well, with the rubber band. I tend to ask just what would work for my client. So, you know, I will say like, okay, one of the things that really helps when you, in order to shift this, is to create more awareness. And I let them know that initially they're probably going to get into that state, and that's okay. So I really set a lot of pre-frames around that, that they can expect it, and then that's okay. So there's a level of acceptance there. And and I let them write down the thoughts that come up in the back of their mind. So every time you get in that state, what are your thoughts? So giving them an assignment like that, to be able to answer that question, they need to step out.
Yeah.
What are, you know, writing down your thoughts. And so,
yeah,
that's kind of how I work with it.
Okay, thank you.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, got something to think about. Good.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so are there any more questions? Okay, so I don't see any hands going up. So what I would like you to think about for next week is, what state do you want to work on? Is that your coaching genius state? Is that training? Is that maybe something in marketing? So anything like that. And so then next week we're going to start with the power zone, and we're going to start building from there. And as we go through this, you're going to discover how it really is tied in with the coaching mastery, and how you can kind of let what you learn in this training transform your coaching, because it really is. I have done this training maybe 8 times. I assisted in this training 8 times. And my goal was to really understand and embody all of the patterns. And there were some patterns in there that I didn't really like, and maybe didn't initially understand the value of it. And as I've done this training more and more, I really started to kind of see why it is set up the way that it's set up. And so I'm hoping to help you start to see this as well, and so that you can really embody the patterns and really let it increase your skills in your coaching. So there's also going to be plenty of time for discussions and how things relate to your coaching sessions. So for today, this was it. It was just the introduction to the APG. And next week, we're going to be focusing on the power zone. So I'm hoping to see you there. Kristen, if you could send me that link, I will be sending you the link to where you can get the APG in stages. And I will also send out the slides for this for today's training call. So my apologies for the technical difficulties. I don't know specifically what went wrong today, but hopefully next week it's going to just go off without a glitch. So thank you for being on the call with me today, and I look forward to having you back next week. Have a great day or evening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Subscribe to Change audio recording. With love and kindness, Femke Stute.